Hi, I'm Tara Parker Pope, and welcome to the Best of the Well blog. Join me here each week as I follow up on some of the blog's most talked about entries. One of the biggest stories of the week has focused on cholesterol drugs and the decision by the American Academy of Pediatrics to recommend drug treatment in certain high-risk children as early as the age of 8. Readers have reacted strongly to the notion of using drugs to help children treat a condition essentially caused by a lifestyle problem. Others have raised concerns that there are no data to suggest giving a child a statin will prevent a heart attack once he or she reaches middle age. Joining me today to talk more about the issue is Dr. Darshak Singhavi, pediatric cardiologist and assistant professor of pediatrics at the University of Massachusetts Medical School. Dr. Singhavi is also the author of one of my favorite books. It's called A Map of the Child, A Pediatrician's Tour of the Body. Dr. Singhavi, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
So, you know, we've talked about this week. Tell me, you know, these new guidelines have been issued by the American Academy of Pediatrics, and one of the guidelines talks about lowering the age at which it's appropriate to give a child a statin drug, which is a pretty heavy-duty drug. How significant in the world of pediatrics is this development? What kind of impact do you think it'll have?
Well, I think this is going to have a major impact on rank-and-file pediatricians who are seeing children for routine well-child visits. As we know, children will come in about every year or so between the ages of about 2 and 10 years of age. And what we're talking about is really adding on a screening procedure at those regular well-child visits. What that's going to consist of is pediatricians speaking to parents about any possible risk factors for future heart disease children may have, such as being somewhat overweight or even having a family history, meaning a parent who's taking medicine for high cholesterol. If any of those situations are present, and that's going to be true for tens of millions of children in the United States, the AAP is now recommending that we check the blood cholesterol level in those children. And for children who are 8 years of age or older, if certain cut points are hit, then they're going to recommend that we treat those children with medications to reduce that cholesterol.
Now, this has been what's so shocking to readers and to a lot of pediatricians who have emailed me who think it's kind of crazy to give these adult drugs to children. But one thing that you and I discussed earlier, you know, there are some cases where children have a genetic disorder that gives them just astronomically high cholesterol, right? So for those children, is it appropriate to consider statin
therapy? That's correct. What you're talking about is a condition known as familial hypercholesterolemia. Now, this is a genetic condition that's usually present in one parent, and if you pass on a copy of the gene to a child, that child is also going to have that problem. Now, it's important to point out that this is very different than just having a routinely elevated cholesterol. In these children, the cholesterol is extremely high. The level of LDL or so-called bad cholesterol can be over 300 or 400 milligrams per deciliter, which can be almost 6 to 10 times as much as is present in healthy children. For those children that actually have that genetic problem, which is actually pretty uncommon, most pediatricians would agree that a statin is probably a good idea. It's important to keep in mind, though, that the AAP's guidelines are actually going to pick up a huge number of children that just happen to have a somewhat elevated cholesterol. And just to put some numbers on this, approximately 10 to 15% of healthy children will have a total cholesterol greater than 200, which is actually defined as something which is considered elevated. So it's really a problem of finding a needle in a haystack to try to screen a huge number of people to find the small group of kids that are going to have that familial genetic problem.
And, you know, in my introduction, I talked about how people were reacting to this because this is viewed as largely a lifestyle issue for these children that don't have this genetic condition, this inherited condition. Would you agree with that, this is really an issue of lifestyle? I mean, is that the reason these 10, 15% of children have cholesterol over 200? Is it the way they're living their lives, lack of exercise, the diet?
I think that's a very complicated question. And my short answer is that, in my opinion, and I think the data supports this, children often just have high cholesterols for no obvious reason. It's not that their diet is worse or any other easily identifiable environmental problem. And we actually know that because we've been measuring cholesterol in children for decades. And in fact, cholesterol levels in children over the past 30 or 40 years have probably actually decreased a little bit.
Now, I found that fact very interesting in the pediatrics paper. I mean, that it was surprising to me. Triglycerides were lower, you know, depending on what study you looked at.
Yes.
Total cholesterol was either stable or declining. Why are we talking about this issue now if the trend seems to be going in the right direction?
I think that the intention of the AAP here is good. We'd like to prevent people from developing heart disease as they get older. And we do know that even in young adulthood, you can develop some atherosclerosis, which is the early signs of heart problems. I think that as a result, we're just focusing on more and more potentially invasive or drug-based strategies to try to do what we can to prevent them from getting heart disease. I think that, unfortunately, people are perhaps getting frustrated with the lifestyle modification and dietary modification strategies, and now are just jumping towards drugs at younger and younger ages.
So given that right now it's pretty routine to put an adult in middle age on a statin drug if cholesterol is above a certain level, probably above 200 and higher.
Right.
Well, my question is, why not just give it to children? What's the reason why we wouldn't all jump at this? I mean, I have my own thoughts, but I'm curious what you think.
In my opinion, patients should really be drawn into the decision-making process and be given the best information to make decisions that are right for them. Part of that is to inform patients about what their actual risk of having a heart attack or heart problem is. Now, let's suppose take a 50-year-old man who has high cholesterol. He doesn't smoke, he doesn't have high blood pressure, but just has a high LDL cholesterol, which is the bad cholesterol. A doctor should tell that person that their risk of having a heart attack in the next 5 to 10 years is probably about 4%. So 96% of even those men at that high risk probably are going to be just fine. Now, if you take a statin, you can probably drop that risk to about 2 to 3%. In other words, instead of having a 96% chance of being fine, they'll have a 98% chance of being fine. And that's how really the decision should be framed for them. And then that person should make up their mind. I think that you can take that same thinking to children, but it's much harder. Obviously, the risks are going to be substantially lower, though. And that's sort of why I think that many people oppose giving statins to children. We just don't even know what the risks of having a heart attack are. We do suspect that they're extremely low.
You know, one of the more interesting quotes I found when I was reporting on this story was talking to one of the committee members about the data or lack of data, and the response that, well, we have a lot of adult data, so we're extrapolating that adult data to children. And you've written this book called A Map of the Child, and you've worked with children. You know, can we really extrapolate data from adult studies and assume that it's going to be the same for kids?
I think that that's highly problematic for many reasons. Children's bodies are very different in how they metabolize or handle drugs. Their livers are different, their kidneys are different, and even how they process the drugs through their GI system may be different. Now, in many cases, it's probably about the same, like if they're taking Tylenol or asthma medications. But for other drugs like statins, which might have some impact on their endocrine system, we just really don't know. I, for one, feel unsafe simply saying that children are little adults in this case.
I think it's a fascinating issue. Were you at all surprised when you read these guidelines? I mean, you probably knew they were coming up, but does it surprise you that the sort of national pediatrics group would go in this direction?
I, for one, was taken a little bit by surprise, and I suspect some other pediatricians were as well. I think it's important to point out that that really, although for the public there's this impression that all guidelines are equal, there are some guidelines that are very well thought out. And in my opinion, there are some guidelines that are not as well thought out. With this particular one, reading it over, it's an 11-page guideline. Really, only two paragraphs out of that deal with giving kids statins. There's not really a lot of debate or thought in the guidelines about the risks and benefits of statins, in my opinion. So I believe that in this case, I was disappointed that a more scientific approach was not taken.
Well, I appreciate the time you've taken to help clarify it for us. I think it's been very confusing to a lot of parents, and I think we're going to start, you know, when we take our kids to the pediatrician, at the very least, we're going to start hearing more about cholesterol screening. So I think it does feel like changes are coming for us as parents.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be here.
Thank you very much.
To read the original post on cholesterol drugs for kids and the mini reader comments on the Well blog, go to nytimes.com/well. I'm Tara Parker Pope. I'll be back next week. Until then, be well.